¡Hola!
¡Hi!
¡Bienvenidas a Super Mamás!
¡Super Mamás!
This is Paulina.
And this is Priscia. We're moms and sisters.
I have two beautiful little girls, Krista and Sabina.
And I have one handsome little boy, Eduardo Santiago Maitorena. And we welcome you into the Super Mama sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Krista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. Ah! I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
Got me right there. She was like, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom. Mm-hmm. He knew what kind of mom he wanted and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right. We are here to help one another, inspire one another, and support each other through the ups and downs of this crazy journey called motherhood.
I hope you guys enjoy the show.
Okay, Lisa.
Here we go.
Hola, Super Mamas. This is Paulina, and this week on the show, we have Gabrielle Kaufman, Director of Training at Maternal Mental Health Now. After last week's episode, we decided to go deeper into the subjects of depression, anxiety, and all mental health issues around motherhood. So we are so thankful that she agreed to come on the show because she shared with us so much information that I know a lot of you will find helpful. So please share this episode and we hope you guys enjoy the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
How'd you like that disking video?
I'm excited to do my own.
Has anyone seen these disking videos going around YouTube? Am I the only one?
I've never heard of it until right now.
Fernando sent it to me this morning.
What the hell?
If you've never heard of disking, look it up on YouTube. It's basically like you put two CDs on the side of your glasses and then you tilt your head forward real quick and then the CDs like cover your eyes. I kind of want to try it out.
It looks funny. Right? It looks funny, yeah.
Poor CDs.
I know, they're so old.
Anyway, good morning.
Hello,
everyone.
Everybody.
How was your weekend, Paulina?
It was good. It's a long weekend, so my weekend's still going. My kids are right outside having breakfast while we record.
Nice.
So it's good. Week two of total potty training immersion, going really, really well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, now I don't have, like, last week, I would have to take her every hour to the potty. Now she tells me. Now she goes on her own.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we did have two accidents this weekend, but it's looking pretty good. Right now, she doesn't have a diaper on. So I'm taking a big risk of being outside with
them. I'll send you a tip. Do not take your child to Disneyland in the middle of your potty training.
Do not take your child anywhere in the middle of a potty training.
Well, I mean, he was already great. I mean, he was pretty much potty trained my child, mm-hmm. I thought. Mm-hmm. Then we went to Disney this weekend
for the first time. Oh my God.
It was incredible. It was incredible. I don't know if I should say, we went to California Adventure.
I love it.
Yeah, it's the best. It was incredible, unbelievable. I loved it. I'd go back just to ride the carousel over again. I would just go just to ride it and just have them sit over and over.
They love the carousel
and
everywhere.
Over and over. So it was really, really fun. It was great. Quick shout out to Disney. I lost my wallet, but I called and they have it in their lost and found.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Are they going to mail it to you?
Yeah. Isn't that great? I just kept saying the entire time. I was like, babe, they found my wallet. They found my wallet. I have a tiny wallet, mm-hmm. like a man's wallet almost. So I think I put it in the back of my pocket and then like, I think it must have fallen or I don't know what happened. But they found it.
That's awesome. I think I already lost something there once and got it back.
But like, how crazy is that? Mm-hmm. How crazy is that such a huge place with so many moving parts, yet they're able to retrieve my tiny little wallet? It blew my mind.
Like, did he get in a lot of the rides?
Oh my gosh. So he's 36 inches.
Okay.
Which means he's able to ride, I would say, most of the rides in California Adventure. Obviously not like the roller coaster. He was not tall enough for the main Cars ride yet.
Oh, no.
But
42 inches for that one.
But all of the other ones, like We got into the Luigi's. Oh, we got into the Ladybugs. Those. We got into all Bugs Land. Mm-hmm. It's like toddler friendly.
Yeah.
We got into Radiator Springs.
Did you go to the Toy Story one with the shooting, where they're shooting?
So we didn't, because that one had a long wait.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it always has a long
wait.
We
just kind of, we got there like super late too. Super unplanned. We did not plan to go to Disney that morning when we woke up. We just, so we thought we were going to go to the snow.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He's like, let's go to the snow. Up north, they got I don't know how many inches of snow. Yeah, and we saw pictures. And then I was like, but we're not prepared for the snow. He needs snow boots. I need snow pants. Mm-hmm. I need gloves. I can't just
For the snow, you have to be prepared.
Yeah, I can't. He's like, why can't we just go like this? I'm like, that's not the way you go. Like, you're going into water.
Yeah.
Do you really? I'm like, you understand you're going to submerge yourself in water, right? It's not just yay, snow. I mean.
And you have to leave really early, too. You have to leave six, seven in the morning.
Can we at least get gloves? How are you going to build a snowman without gloves? No, you're grabbing ice. So we said no on the snow, and we instead decided to go to Disney. We were going to go to Legoland.
Oh.
And then on our way to Legoland, we realized what time it was. It was already going to be noon. And my husband was like, why don't we just stop? Why don't we just go to Disney? We're like, sure.
I love how on the, how do you call it? Como se dice?
On the fly.
On the fly. You just had no plans.
No.
Snow, then Legoland, and you ended up in Disneyland.
And it was so Disney was so full. It was Saturday that mm-hmm. the main parking structure was full. So you had to park off.
Oh, wow.
And I forgot to see what street that was. Mm-hmm. But it was but around the corner is Tony Roma. So that's the only thing I remember. Yeah. That parking lot, I will repark there again.
Yeah. Is it the big one? Is it the one that they take you on the bus?
Yes, I take you on the bus.
Yeah.
It's $18. We didn't get on the bus. We were like, let's just walk and see how far it is. It is so close.
Yeah.
It is so close. It's closer than parking in the parking structure.
And you enter through the back, actually, and then the lines to the tickets are mm-hmm. shorter.
Yeah.
I've been to that one.
I'm like, that's where we're going to park now forever. $18. It's I don't know the name of the street. It's just around the corner from Tony Roma's.
Toys R Us. It's the Toys R Us. The Toys R Us.
It's not the Toys R Us.
It's a Toy Story parking lot.
I don't know. I saw a picture of Pumbaa in there.
Oh. I don't know.
That's all I remember. Anyway. But wait. Let me go back to what I was trying to say. The potty training. So we didn't even take... We didn't take anything. Because we were like... We just left. And then we're like... Wait. Did we bring his toilet with us? We're like, oh my God. How can we not... I don't know. We're just so used to him not using diapers anymore. And we were like, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
So the first half, he was fine. But then I was the one getting nervous. And I think it was me, because we were in the line for Luigi's. And I realized what if he pees on his pants right now? What if we get onto Luigi's and he pees on his pants? So everything was fine. And then right off, we finished Luigi's. We went to the restroom and I put pull-ups on him just in case. Because I was I don't know. I just don't want to have he's on top of my husband's neck, and then he, takes a piss.
That would be funny.
Right. I was just freaking out. So we put pull-ups, and then after we put the pull-ups on, he did not want to go to the restroom.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as he walked into public restrooms, he got freaked out. I don't think he's ever seen restrooms full of so many people.
Oh, so you've never taken to a public restroom?
I have at restaurants, but not Disney public restrooms.
Yeah,
so I think he got a little freaked out a little bit, and he did not want to. We ended up finding his the traveling potty we've taken, and he just didn't care. Didn't want it,
because Krista learned on the actual toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had to use the travel potty. I bought it and I never used it. But now it's the total opposite. Now all she wants to do is that one. And I, that's something new for me, that I'm going to have to be traveling with a portable potty everywhere. Because Krista was just the toilet or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm scared of. After here, I'm going to go shop some things that I need for the house with them. And that's when I'm I'm timing it. I'm okay, she peed, I need to put her in the toilet. like in 20 minutes.
Well, the thing, see, he's gone in toilets too. He's gone in them. I just think that like seeing all those people, I don't know what it was. Oh. Just he was just not, when he put pull-ups on him and he would tell us he needed to go to the bathroom, but like he would go in his pull-up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shoot. And then yesterday he peed on his pants 3 times around the house.
Ooh.
3 times. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no. Like, mm-hmm. what did I just do? But this morning he was better. And today I'm going to be home with him.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be fine again.
I think it's the total immersion of just being with them like continuously 2 or 3 days, just focusing on the potty, like makes a huge difference. Because I know a lot of people say like, give us some tips. I think that's what has worked for both you and me. And like we've used different approaches even when it's just a total immersion. Like I would move the potty around with her, I would time it, sit her, and now she just goes on her own. But like just really concentrate on that, it makes a huge difference. Then if you try to do it sporadically, it's just not gonna happen.
Yeah. No, I don't move my toilet around. I keep it in our, we have 2 bathrooms, and in both bathrooms we have the potties.
I did.
And now he tends to like the potty downstairs better for some reason. I don't know why. He's always like, downstairs. I'm like, all right, let's go downstairs and go to the bathroom. There's one up here, honey.
I'm just very excited that she's already pooping in the potty.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then she just says, oh, potty, mommy, potty. And then she just goes, pulls on her pants and sits and poops, and then she shows it to me. And then she's pouring it down the toilet, flushing it, you know, doing everything. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited. So we'll see how it goes because I'm going to be away for a whole week. So you know.
That's right. You're traveling.
I'm traveling for a whole week. So I'm just... And then daddy hasn't been great at like, as soon as she, like when he picks her up from school, I get home and she has pee on her pull-ups or after school. Or, you know.
Daddies are afraid of the of not having pull-ups.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know what it is. I think they're just like scared of cleaning pee. But they're going to have accidents.
Yeah,
know?
So we'll see how it goes. I'll keep you guys posted. Well, but, you know, I'm excited. I'm really happy. I'm really happy about that. Because right now when I was packing my bag to come and then go somewhere, I was like, what should I even put here now? So then now
just
it's
extra
different.
Clothes, just extra pants.
Extra pants, extra underwear, extra shoes, extra socks, because mm-hmm. the pee just gets everywhere. And I was like, oh my God, no more diapers. And I was like, what do I do with all these diapers that I have left? What do I do with this? What do I do
Night
with that?
Nighttime.
The diapers? I don't know. Just because when she has a diaper, she'll pee.
Pull-ups. No, a bunch pee. Of just pull-ups and
yeah,
for
no,
nighttime?
The diapers that I have left.
So for nighttime, you're not going to use them either?
No, just the pull-ups.
Oh wait, to me pull-ups and diapers are the same thing.
No diapers for real diapers.
Oh, diapers. Yeah, no goodbye diapers. The pull-ups goodbye are the ones.
Yeah,
pull-ups. And we found Mater pull-ups.
Oh yeah,
he loves them.
I have duck mouth.
What is it about Mater that kids love?
He's funny, he's relatable.
Oh
he's
my god, when we funny. Saw Mater kind of going down the street.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
His face of awe was just like, he didn't even know what to do with himself. Like,
he
was just like, Mater. Oh my gosh. It was the most wonderful, beautiful experience we had, the three
I'm
of us.
I'm so happy because I know you were so afraid of taking him.
To Disney. Yeah. But you know, and we ate at Flo's. I'm a fan of Flo's. The food at Flo's is legit.
It is.
And then they have this kids meal that if you pay $5 extra, it was $11. Your lunch pail is a little McQueen.
Oh, really?
So it opens up and then the food goes in there.
Oh, I don't have that one. But.
I have to take a picture of it. It's the cutest thing. So it's like a lunch pail. So like I got it and they gave me a queen. I'm like, so where's the food? And they're like, oh, it's in here. And I was like, whoa.
Oh, that's
I
so
want
cute.
One of these. For $5. That's the only thing I bought.
It's so different, like when you experience Disney through your kids' eyes.
Oh,
it's just
absolutely.
So it's so fun. I love going. I haven't been there in a while.
Okay. Enough about Disney. Let's talk about the wonderful show we have for today.
I'm very, very, very excited about today's show. I think a lot of moms are gonna benefit from this. Or someone you know. I think this is a a very worthy episode. We have Gabrielle Kaufman today. She is a MALPCCBC-DMT-NCC. Wow, that's a lot of titles. She is a dance movement therapist and licensed professional clinical counselor with over 20 years of experience in helping postpartum. She works for Maternal Mental Health Now, which is an organization that focuses on mental health issues around motherhood, which is, I think, something that we need to talk about more. Last week, we had Roxy on the show, and she was so open to share her experience with depression. So we knew we had to go deeper into the subject. We're so happy that we find Gabrielle like right after that show. Mm-hmm. And
perfect timing.
She shared with us so much knowledge about depression, the difference between depression, baby blues, anxiety, all these things that we experience. And we sometimes we don't know we're going through it, or if we know, we're just ashamed of talking about it. So I think this is going to be a really good episode.
I don't know. I'm so excited. Well, without further ado, here is our interview with Gabrielle Kaufman of Maternal Mental Health Now.org.
We're back.
Thank you so much for being here, Gabrielle. Once again, we're so excited to have you here because last week on our show, we had Roxy. Mm-hmm. She shared with us her depression struggle. And we really wanted to get some tools to our super mamas and really help them in navigating depression for anyone out there who is going through the same thing.
Right. We've been wanting to do this for a while. We've had different conversations with different friends about this topic, and I think this is very important. My sister and I were talking last week about the importance of making this like a normal thing and not making it like something that's like weird, or you know, because I feel like there's a lot of stigma around the depression topic, so we want to take that, or at least help take some of that away from it and maybe help somebody out there that's like going through the same situation and doesn't really know what to do or doesn't even know that it's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that, thank you so much. And thank you, Roxy, who's not here, but for yes, opening this conversation that is so real and so alive for a lot of women. And you just nailed it. Like, the shame is the biggest reason people don't talk about this. And so when we come in and we talk about it and we kind of say, you know, you're not alone, we can help reduce that shame. So like you said, what is the tool? One of the tools, we're going to talk about them today, but like the first thing is tell someone what's going on and find the right person to tell.
So how do we find that right person to tell? Like, walk us through a, I guess, quote unquote, normal scenario, if I could even say normal scenario. Uh-huh.
So it's a good question. First of all, every situation is going to be different. So your question was great. And not everyone is going to have the same person they can trust and feel that they can be intimate and share, especially as you've already named this idea of like this shame and kind of stigma that exists. But we all know that when we become super mamas, you know, when we become moms, that everything is new and different and we might feel different. Huh. But it's more...
a little different.
Yeah, just a smidge, right? Just a little bit. I know, the understatement of the year, right? Yeah. But it's like that sense of, if it feels so different that you don't feel like yourself and you can't function, it's time to ask for somebody to talk to. Just talk to somebody and say, you know, hey, this is what's going on with me. And so it could be your doctor, it could be your neighbor, it could be someone in church, it could be a parent at school, it could be a family member, it could be your sister, yeah, it could be, you know, somebody who feels completely separate. Like, there's a hotline you guys can call, postpartum.net. Oh. Has a hotline both in English and in Spanish.
That's great.
Where I didn't you can know call about that. Yeah. So you can call and say to somebody, this is what I'm thinking. This is what's going on. What do I do?
So I have a question. I know like a lot of people talk about the baby blues, right? Uh-huh. After you have a baby, and we read everywhere that after you have the baby, your hormonal levels are off and you might feel different. Like you're saying, you might feel a little different. But so like how long, or, you know, if you're like, if it's like a week after and you feel, how can you tell the difference between both things? Because I think in every book that I read when I was pregnant, it was like talked about the baby blues. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so yeah. When I had the baby, I was like, oh, this is normal. You know, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. And then eventually it didn't. But I didn't really know when it became something else.
So there are a couple things to keep in mind to say the differentiation. Baby blues is really common. There's kind of even the idea that like 80% of women will struggle with some kind of adjustment difficulty. They might be teary. They might have trouble sleeping a little bit at the beginning. They might feel completely overwhelmed. You know, the baby's clock is all upside down, and so ours gets that way. But the difference between baby blues and a postpartum depression is, number one, how long it lasts. So if it doesn't go away on its own with no intervention in 2 weeks...
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. Or if it interrupts your functioning, if you can't really get through the day, don't wait 2 weeks. And my feeling is we sometimes get bogged down in what's a diagnosis. You know, everybody wants to, you know, we're all Googling all the time. We want to be a doctor, you know, we want to get all the answers. We don't need to know. If it's really upsetting you, reach out, talk to somebody, get some support.
Could you repeat the hotline?
Yes. So go to www.postpartum.net. It's this nonprofit called Postpartum Support International, and I'm a volunteer. It's all volunteers who answer the line. It's called a warm line, so you'll leave a message and someone will call you back. And they have it in English and in Spanish as well.
That's great. That's something really good, because first, I'm going to talk about myself because that's, I know my experience. I didn't really know where to start.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know who to reach out to. I didn't really tell my doctor. And I would go online and I was just looking for, like you said, the symptoms. And I was like, huh, I do have this. Wait, I don't know if this is, but I had no idea there was somebody that I can talk to. And I think that has made a difference in me, because when I started seeking therapy, I feel like it's an impartial person that doesn't know me and has no opinion over me. Because when I would tell, I feel like when I would tell my loved ones, I wasn't either taken serious, or they were mm-hmm. like, oh, it's going to pass. It's a baby, you know? So I think speaking to somebody that is like impartial, and I think that would be very beneficial for someone.
And you know, the it's going to pass, I think is part of our wishful thinking. You know, it's just going to pass. It's going to go away. It's going to go away. And even doctors, meaning very well, can sometimes make that mistake and say, it's just baby blues, it's going to pass. And what happens if you go to your doctor at the 6 week postpartum visit and the doctor says, it's just baby blues, it's going to pass, I can guarantee you, if at the 6 week visit it's still there, it's not baby blues. And if you keep waiting for it to pass and your doctor says, it's just going to go away, it's just going to pass, and it isn't, you kind of feel like, well, I can't tell anybody it didn't go away.
Right.
So then, do you then help? Or do these volunteers who answer the phone, do they help? Do they match you with a therapist? Mm-hmm. What happens after you make that first call?
So what we will do is we'll say, tell us where you live. Let's find some resources in your area. And actually, if you're here in Los Angeles, you can go to our website, which is maternalmentalhealthnow.org. And you can find even local resources. You can put in your zip code or your area code and what you're looking for, and you can find resources, but that's just in LA. Oh, but God. I know that's new. It didn't exist.
I wish I had knew this before, because, you know, I think a lot of us mistakenly, or we have this idea, I was speaking to somebody, and we have this idea that therapy is this thing that only like wealthy people do, mm-hmm. and that, you know, it's only to the reach of like certain people. So that was the idea that I had when I started.
Like it's like a privilege. Like, yes. Oh, you're privileged to go to therapy.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's Beverly Hills people, right?
Yes. So that was the idea that I had. And mm-hmm. then I didn't know where to start looking. So I Googled like therapy, and it was like, oh yeah, you can come in, but it's like $200 an hour. And I was like, oh my God, who can afford this? Mm-hmm. You know? So it's great that there are many new resources. I'm very happy to know that now, because I know that's going to help a lot of people.
And that's actually what I commit my work to doing, is training people all throughout LA and beyond to learn about signs and symptoms so that they can help women going through this. And on our website, our resources, at least probably 60% of them are low cost or free. So oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the goal. Look, because we know that there are no barriers to suffering from postpartum depression. It's not just, you know, wealthy women in Beverly Hills who get postpartum depression, but we all struggle. And it shouldn't be that resources are only available to those people too.
Right. And another thing that I also think that is very important is also like sensitize, is that the correct way of saying? Sensitize the rest of the family, the partner, the people around us, because I think also the notion that that depression doesn't exist comes from a cultural standpoint. I know that when I first thought that I had depression, I had answers like, oh, that doesn't exist, you know, or like in my time, that didn't happen. Like, you know, and I think we in our culture, we're expected to be mothers and do it right and know exactly what we have to do. So I feel like, is there also places where the rest of the family can go and learn about this thing so they can help the person affected?
Yeah, so there are some resources in that way. And in those books, I gave you guys training manuals. And in them, there's some information for parents and loved ones. And if you want to put that on your blog post, you can. But it's like, you know, what are the things that you want to hear? You don't want to hear from somebody, why is the house a mess? You know, yeah. You don't want to hear...
I still don't want to hear that. And my kid's 2 years old.
Mine is 17. And she's the reason it's a mess. But, you know, you don't want to hear those things. But you know, loved ones like, well, what are you doing all day? What does the baby do? Come on, what's so hard?
Oh, my gosh. That's the worst thing you can tell a mother.
Isn't that the worst?
I want to press replay on this right now. Like, don't ever tell a mom, like, what did you do all day?
Oh, shut the fuck up.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
How hard could, gosh, the worst thing. How hard could this be? Yes. And that's when, you know, you have a right to like punch them in the face, you know, like, and loved ones, you know, they mean well. I also think that it's hard for people who aren't comfortable with someone being sad, seeing you sad. They're like, well, just think you have a baby. You should be happy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Like that's the other thing that I was thinking. It's like, well, you have a baby, like you have a reason to be happy. Uh-huh. Why can't you just be happy? And it's like, I want to be happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that happened through my mind. Like there is something really wrong with me because yeah. I really wanted this baby so bad. And now whenever somebody asks me, how do you feel? I can be like, well, I don't feel anything.
Yeah. How like, can you
I'm
do like, that?
I love it. Oh my God, this is the best thing. Motherhood is so amazing. And then inside of me, I was like, Who is this little thing that's not talking back to me? And I remember like my husband would leave to work and I was on the couch and he would come back and I was still on the couch and like I didn't eat. I didn't do anything. And I was just like, I don't even like, it was like a blur, but I just didn't even know how to identify with my baby. And some people think that might be going through this thing. Like there's something wrong with me.
Of course. And I can't let anybody know. I mean, yes. Thank you for sharing that story. I can guarantee every woman listening to this has had a moment where they felt like, who is this alien in my arms and my life is over, right?
Yeah.
I have a memory from when I had my baby. I was at home and I was sure that I was going to love being a mom. I was going to love everything. And my husband left for work and I would sit with this stranger in my arms and I would sob and sob and sob, and my friend called and she's like, aren't you just in love?
You're like, no.
And I didn't want to tell her. I'm like, oh my God, she's gonna lock me up, right? Yeah. I didn't love this thing. This thing was making my life hell, right? So
now we've called, we've gone paired up with a therapist, what's next? Or if I'm too afraid to call or even just admit that I have a problem, like what do you recommend be a way that I deal with this anxiety and to deal with this? I know Roxy mentioned when she was telling us her story, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I've never gone through something like that. But the way she was describing of just fear of being afraid. And there's either women who are listening to us who are not moms who are dealing through this, which who might be like, well, you know, I'm going through depression. It feels like all the symptoms seem like mine, but like I'm not pregnant. Like, should I call this number and be like, so I'm depressed, but I don't have a child? You know, like the fear that she described when she was talking about, like, she woke up and she was afraid to move, afraid to get up, afraid to breathe, afraid of everything.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, like, you know, the mind can be such a like crazy place. What are some tangible tools you can give us, or some things that we could do at home, or, you know, to get us prepared to make that call?
First of all, thank you for bringing that up. And my belief is no one should have to suffer, right? And being alone is really hard. Being alone in your mind. And one of the big things that women who struggle with depression and, by the way, anxiety, I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well, but is that they're isolated. And they're isolated, not necessarily only physically isolated, but emotionally isolated. Like, you know, they open the front door.
No one gets me.
Yeah, no one gets me. So they'll smile, right? I'm doing fine. Isn't my baby cute? Like I always say, if somebody comes in to see you and they look like they're like a mess, you got to worry. And if someone comes to see you and they look fantastic, you got to worry. What are they covering up? You know? So what are some of the tips? First thing is, I'm sure Roxy would have said this, which is taking care of your physical health is really important. You know, and when you got to exercise, it's not like I'm going to send somebody to, you know, cardio bar, you know. But like one of the things that I think a really good friend can do for a new mom is help that mom put the baby in a stroller and go for a walk around the block. Like, what are the things we need to pack to go out the door? Like, I think it seems so silly, but a lot of moms are like, I don't know what to pack. Like, what do I put in my diaper bag? You know, like, you know, do I need to bring the kitchen sink? You know,
yeah, the beginning. That's my sister right there.
See, I knew it.
That's how I developed my bag problem.
Yeah, it can be like this fear. I remember my husband was really afraid of, you know, those little nose suckers, you know, things. So he's like, we can't go anywhere without the nose thing.
I still don't go anywhere without them. They're 5 and 2.
But it's almost like those thoughts of like, is everything going to be okay? So normalizing is really important. And healthy nutrition is really important too. And you know, when the last thing you're going to say to a mom is like, sit down and have a 3-course meal. Yeah. But like, what are healthy snacks you can have, you know, around you? And even like a water bottle, if a mom is breastfeeding, I don't know if you both breastfed, but like when you breastfeed, you get super thirsty.
Yeah.
So you sit down, all of a sudden it's taking you 15 minutes to get the baby to latch on. You're in so much pain and you don't want to move an inch. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm so thirsty. Yeah.
And it's like a thirst that you can't explain. It's just like, it's crazy.
It is. It's crazy. So I'm like,
that's such a great tip. You need to have water bottles all over the house. Yeah. And I remember when I was home, one of the things I did have like huge liter bottles, and you can get them at IKEA. Actually, they're like, I think $1.99. Mm-hmm. They're those big like glass bottles with like a top. They look like wine bottles.
Uh-huh.
Or get a wine bottle and just empty it out and fill it up with water.
Or drink the wine.
No, but just have them around strategic places all over your house.
Yes.
To where you feel comfortable just grabbing and drinking, and then, you know, also have people help you fill them out. But such a great tip.
I had a mom who was so anxious about her kid getting sick, and she had these thoughts that couldn't leave her head. She couldn't even think straight. All she kept thinking was her baby was going to get sick and get hospitalized. And then she went down that thought process. He's going to get hospitalized. He's going to have a spinal tap. He's going to die. Right?
Yeah. But like, I feel like all moms have that. Like, right? Like I feel sometimes when I'm driving,
I still have that.
Yeah, I still have that. And I've talked to a lot of moms and we have those feelings. But I guess when we get stuck on those feelings and we go down that road and we only think about those bad feelings, that's when we get caught up in the bad.
So that's exactly it. Like, what is the difference between kind of having a little bit of anxiety or little depression or whatever? Because we all do, right? Depression, we have moments where we're sad. It's how does it stick in our brain? Are we able to get on with our day? Does it stop us? Does it make our life miserable? And that's when it's really a problem. It's like kind of when it gets in the way is really when you want to say, okay, I need to get help. Like, I can't even be present with my baby because all I'm thinking about is all this other stuff. And I have to tell you, one of the things that's amazing is one of the first things that's really helpful, and this is what you can, all of you people listening can do for your loved ones, is say to them 3 things. One, which is, you're not alone. Okay. Cause it feels so lonely.
Yeah. It feels so lonely inside of your head.
Yeah.
Well, you're not alone. Okay. There's all of us here.
Exactly. We're going to say it now. You're not alone.
You're not alone.
The next thing, and you guys can say this out loud, is you're not to blame.
You're not to blame.
You are. Oh, girl, you are not to blame.
Because it's not your fault. I think when it comes to like mental health too, we blame. Like if only you had a better attitude, right? If it were that easy, don't you think we all would do that?
Oh, yeah.
And then the third thing, which is with the right help, you will get better.
So with the right help, you will get better.
You guys are hired. That's awesome. But I mean, it's true. What I have seen, so I've worked in mental health for a really long time, but I won't tell you how many years because you know I'm really old. But I've worked in mental health and I've worked with chronic mentally ill people, and they don't always get better. But women who are struggling with depression and even postpartum depression and anxiety, if they hear somebody tell them, you know, here are some things you can do and I'm listening and we're here to support you and let's help you learn how to breathe through your anxiety. Let's help you know who to reach out to. They get better. And then when they get better, their families benefit too.
Right. I feel like I feel like what you seek is empathy.
Yes.
You seek empathy, understanding. You just want somebody to tell you, yeah, you know, it's okay. You'll be fine. Or, you know, give you a hug or something. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we put up a front of like, oh my God, I had this baby now. My life has to be perfect. And I have to have a, you know, one of those commercials on TV when you're glowing and the baby's smiling at you and, you know, have that perfect life. And we have this idea of what motherhood should look like. And then when the baby's born and you realize that it's nothing like that, it's ugly, it's messy, it's tiring, it's all of that. You're like, what the hell?
And here's the biggest secret about motherhood that people don't talk about is it's boring.
What do you mean?
I mean, you can be for hours and hours and hours with your baby and, you know, like,
yeah,
your baby's not talking back.
You want to go to sleep. That's really what you want to do.
And you can't.
Yeah. So
then you have to resource to YouTube videos.
So what is, can you explain to us a little bit? Oh, let's take a break right now. When we come back, I want to hear a little bit about kind of like the difference between depression and anxiety, because
for sure
I didn't know there was a difference. Mm-hmm. So let's take a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue with Gabrielle Kaufman of Maternal Mental Health Now. We'll be right back. Here, I was reading something really interesting in your website. It says every year in LA, 130,000 women give birth. That's a lot of women. And the Department of Public Health estimates that 20% of these women experience depression. 20%, and the rates in low-income communities are actually higher. But fewer than 1 in 4 new moms are actually screened. So that's. That's a very scary statistic.
It's a very scary statistic. The good news is I think that has gone up a little bit. But what I want to say is in low-income communities, communities that are struggling in other ways, the numbers are almost up to 50%.
Oh, geez.
So it's really an issue. It's really, and it usually, by the way, in those communities, it's overlapping with things like domestic violence and substance abuse and isolation. So there are other issues that connect to it that just make things so much more complicated.
Yeah.
And that's, I think those are the kind of situations that we see in the news sometimes, of things that happen and that give depression such a bad, I'm going to say, reputation.
For sure.
You feel like you're depressed, so you're going to harm somebody, you're going to harm your baby, or, you know, those kind of things. So that's why I feel like a lot of people are afraid to even say anything, because they're like, oh my God, they're going to think that I'm going to do something to my... That's what I thought at some point.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm better not say anything, because what if, you know, something like that happens? But that's true. Like, it just all piles up, and it just explodes in your face.
So let's talk a little bit about depression and anxiety and the difference between the two.
Great. And I'm actually going to, I think it's there. So in this whole field, we call it maternal mental health because it's not just postpartum, but it happens during pregnancy and postpartum. There's a whole range of diagnoses. But depression is probably the most common diagnosis, but in the postpartum period, it tends to be a very anxious depression. So that anxiety might be, start with kind of something simple like, I'm worried about my baby being healthy. I'm worried about my baby sleeping at night. I'm worried about these things, but the typical non-diagnostic kind of experience of anxiety is it's something that worries me, but it doesn't, I don't obsess about it. I don't think about it all the time. I can let it go. I can get some help and be there. Anxiety can be like paralyzing. It can be like, I can't get out the door because I'm so afraid of this. And it can even lead to like a panic attack, which is that kind of, it has a lot of physiological symptoms like our heart pounding and difficulty breathing, and even lightheadedness can come with that. In fact, a lot of people end up in the emergency room thinking they're having a heart attack when they're just having a panic attack.
Wow.
So that can happen.
Yeah, I've seen that. Well, on TV, but yeah.
Thank God you haven't experienced it. If you've experienced it, and I'm sure some of your listeners have, it's horrible. It's paralyzing. So I wanted to mention too about the media, the news. The news does a disservice, right? Because if the only time...
No. Really?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking. Other than you guys. But, not us. The when they report, you know, so and so killed their baby because they had postpartum depression. First of all, they don't know. We don't know. Like, you don't know anything about, you know, this person and her story and what happened. We're just saying that woman just had a baby, so she's postpartum. But what I will say is, people who are deeply depressed do not kill their babies. That is not what would happen. It would be much more like a postpartum psychosis, and that's incredibly rare. And postpartum psychosis is a break from reality.
Okay. So there's like different levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not even, I mean, it's in the same field of, it's still, you know, mental illness, right, but it's not even in the same diagnosis. So even if you were really, really, really depressed, you might say, I don't want to hold my baby anymore, but you probably would never go to, I am going to hurt my baby, right? You might have sometimes people, when they're highly anxious and they have an obsessive thought, they might even have an image of something scary happening to their baby.
Yes.
But they feel horrible about it. If you feel horrible about it, you're not going to hurt your baby.
Right.
Okay. And that's important to know. It's kind of a nuance. It's hard to figure it out. But if you feel badly about the thought you're having, if you think, oh my God, I had an image of my baby dropping out of my arms and crashing on the floor, it's scary. But you're not going to hurt your baby. You're more likely going to say, I can't hold her anymore.
Got it. Which is really important that you say that, because I think my sister's right. Like, a lot of times we don't say it because people are going to be like, oh, they're going to take my baby away if I say I'm depressed, because they're going to think I'm going to kill it or something.
No. I mean, the higher risk is, I hate to say it, but suicide. Like, if you feel like, I'm so terrible at this, I'm hopeless, and you don't get the help, you're more likely to hurt yourself than your baby. But that's also incredibly rare. So those stories that we hear in the news and they say is postpartum depression, I can just tell you, it's not true. And we don't know enough about it. If the news would then say more like, a lot of women struggle with depression and they need to get help because it's, you know, because sometimes they're not able to take care of their baby in the best way that they could. We get them help and their family gets together again. That would be so much better, but it's not as sensationalist, right?
Right.
It doesn't sell papers.
And I have another question for you. I know we've talked about like just moms that have just recently had babies, but can postpartum depression happen later? Like if I have a 5-year-old like right now and I have a 2-year-old, could that kind of depression happen after, or maybe still linger after 5 years and then you're like, oh, I think I've been feeling this for the past 5 years. Now it's time for me to get help. It happens like that, or it's only like right after?
You're right. You're actually right in what you said. What happens is, okay, so if we, and I'm going to take away from like the clinical diagnosis thing, because I don't think that matters as much. Because clinical diagnosis meets a criteria. It has to be a number of weeks after. But what I find all the time is somebody has gone to their doctor or gone to their loved one and said, I think I'm having a hard time. And they say, don't worry, all moms go through it. It'll be over soon. And it isn't over soon. And you're like, totally feeling ashamed, so you just don't mention it, or I kind of say you white knuckle it through a year, 2 years. And then I sometimes see women who come to me, you know, like I just have a new person in my, I also have a private practice. So I have a new woman in my private practice who has a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And she said, oh, it started when I had my 4-year-old, but I just couldn't tell anybody. But now I just can't even handle it anymore. So I would give her that diagnosis, even though she didn't just have that baby.
Or you just get used to feeling that way. And yeah, you think that's the way life is. This is
the best it'll get.
Yeah.
Right? Is that terrible, though?
Yes.
Really? That's just the way it's like, this is my life. Like, yeah. I'm never going to be happy or...
A lot of people think that, which it's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, look at you.
Yeah. Are there any books that you recommend or any... I don't know. I mean, aside from calling or just... seeking therapy, like what are some of the maybe like your top 3 advice for women who are feeling like this? Like, it's going to be okay. Again, you're not alone. With the right help, you'll be great. And the second one,
you're not to blame,
and you're not to blame. Like,
so find, so a couple things. Find a support.
What else can we do?
There are a lot of things you can, there are, you can, and I do think that talking to a professional who specializes is best, but not everybody can get that resource. So do what's best. You know, maybe, by the way, for some women, prayer can go a really long way.
Yes.
If it works for you, mm-hmm. do it. If it doesn't work for you, there are other things. Find something you used to like to do and pick it up again. I think we all get in this idea of, I don't have time anymore. I don't have time to eat. I don't have time to take care of my, mm-hmm. the things I used to like. I don't.
We totally do that.
Yeah, we drop it. Like, the baby's the only thing that's important. But here's the thing. You know, when you fly in an airplane and they say, if you don't put the oxygen mask on you first, you know, like, you need to do that. We talk about that a lot here.
Yeah, because I feel, and also we mentioned on our break that not, by telling your family, sometimes that doesn't even help.
Yeah.
So sometimes even telling the loved one, because they don't understand, they haven't gone through it, maybe mm-hmm. you feel like, oh, they're not listening to me. So you should take the first step in doing something. You know, it sometimes takes some effort, mm-hmm. but if you really feel like, if you feel like this, maybe take that one step of like, picking up the phone and calling.
Yeah.
That's going to make a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference. You know, and one of the things that we all have to do too is not make assumptions about seeing somebody's situation. Well, you guys look so happy, or, you know, you live with your mom, you know, and have you met my mom? Yeah. Right. You know,
like, but you have so much help.
You have so much help. You know, you have a healthy baby. Think about the other people who didn't, or you wanted this baby. Didn't you really want this baby? And it's like, God, how is that going to help me, right? Yeah,
right. You're 100% right.
Well, I wanted to also mention support groups. That support groups can be really good, but the one thing that isn't so great is if you go to like one of those happy mommy and me groups, we call them the perky groups, right? And you go in and like, you know, they're singing, you know, the wheels on the bus go around, and you're sitting there in the corner going, how are these people so happy?
You're like, forget the wheels.
Yeah, screw those wheels, man. And you're just like, so finding a support group can be really empowering, because then you look around the room and you're like, oh, you understand me, you're not judging me. Because there's the other thing, and I know you guys are probably talking about this, but there's like that mom petition, that competition that happens between moms.
Yep.
And I think that is the worst thing, because you know what I hear all the time in my practice? I'm a bad mom.
We all think we're bad moms.
We're all bad. And the thing is, I'm the worst mom, right?
You can be worse than me.
No, I'm worse.
There is like a competition. No, I'm worse than you. No, I'm worse.
You can make that a competition.
But that's true about like what you're saying about finding the right group that fits you. We've met people that said, you know, I joined a group and it wasn't my thing, so I created my own.
Oh, God bless those people. Yes, right?
That are like-minded. So find people that are like you, that you identify with. Because if you go to a group, like you're saying, and you end up, like, you leave feeling guilty because you mm-hmm. compare your baby or your life to theirs, that's just the worst. That's not even healthy.
That's like high school all over again.
We never leave high school. Yeah, right?
And my other thing I was gonna say, like, so is it okay to let our kids cry while we have some time for ourselves and like not feel guilty about them crying?
Okay, so here's the thing that can happen, and I can tell you too, because I had the world's 2 most colicky babies, and you know, a colicky baby, I don't know if either of you had colicky babies, but that baby cries, and then you try to soothe the baby, and the baby isn't soothed, and then you start to get anxious, and your anxiety is fed to the baby, and the baby feels more anxious, and then you get to that point where you're like, I don't know what to do here. So the best thing at that point is to put the baby in a safe spot and to cool down. Because yeah. if you don't do that...
Like in a closet?
I'm kidding. But it could be, you know, it could be you put the baby on a blanket on the floor and walk out of the room, get a glass of water, and your baby may cry. You might not even need to put on music and listen for a little bit. Because if we get to the point where we're so anxious or upset, and it's not only with your baby crying, it could just be anytime. We're just feeling overwhelmed. It's okay to get yourself to a place where we kind of say like to regulate emotions. If you can regulate yourself and calm down and feel okay. Look, we all know if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So if you can get to the point where you can just get yourself to a better place, your baby will be better.
Yeah, I've come across friends or people that I know that the baby's like 6 months and they've never had like a day for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh no, I've been with the baby 24 hours a day, all day long since they were born. And I'm like, oh my God, girl, you need some time for yourself. Yeah. It's very important. And not to feel guilty about it, because like you said, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of the baby.
And you need to put on the tacones and get out the door, because you need to feel like you're still a woman.
Yes, that's very important.
Put some lingerie on, girl. Get it together. No, I'm just kidding.
If it fits.
Yeah. just walk around naked. It doesn't matter. Just be silly. And my sister and I attended like a Anthony Robbins Date with Destiny event a month ago. And one of the things he said was like, do you remember when you were just like a little girl? And do you remember you would see a puddle of water and like you would jump in the puddle and you would like run around and be silly and you'd just be like happy because there was a puddle of water and you got all wet and dirty and you felt happy about it. And like now you're grown up and you see the puddle and you get upset because you're like, this puddle's in my way and it's going to get me dirty and I got to go somewhere. Like just channel your inner like little girl and just jump around, dance around. You're a dance movement therapist. Did I read that correctly? Your bio, I was like, dance movement therapist? That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
What is that? I want to hear about that.
So it's the idea that your mind and body aren't separate. So when you're working with somebody with their emotions and what's going on in your mind, it's also going on in your body. So kind of connect to that. And actually, I think that one of those things that we can do with our baby is to put on a song you love. Not a song, not the wheels on the bus. I know I'm totally railing on the wheels on the bus. But, you know, put on a song you like. And hold your baby and dance around with your baby.
Put on some Bitty Bitty Bum Bum. It's okay.
Totally. Beyonce. You got to put a ring on it.
Put a ring on it.
Put a ring on it. Dance with your baby. It doesn't matter. Like, just get happy. I mean, it sounds...
Well, sometimes it's that fake it till you make it, right? Like, you can't, you know... One of the things they talk about is, you know, if you're not feeling happy, I can't say just be happy, but... Some of the things that are so important in feeling good about motherhood is finding something to do with your baby. And when they're newborns, like, they're not doing much, right? You're, like, what are you doing with your baby? You're sitting there strapped to the chair with your nipple being clamped on, right? Like, it doesn't necessarily feel so fabulous. So what is it if you kind of listen to a song you like and rock with the baby? Even if you're not feeling it, you can start to feel it.
Right. Going back to Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
There's a part where he talks about physiology and how important physiology is. It plays a huge part of like where you focus and, you know, where you're going. And, you know, he was talking about like if you see a person that's depressed, you could see it on their physiology, the way they stand, the way they talk, the way they do. So like changing your physiology, even though you don't feel it, it'll just make you feel a little better. Like, you know, standing up or, putting your shoulders, dancing, like you're saying. And you know, it goes back to like now I'm putting it all together. Putting it all together now.
Yeah.
Get a trampoline and just jump on it.
And it really isn't a bad idea. It's something to keep you active. The other thing that I think is really important is having a relationship with your baby can be hard. Especially, I remember I had a mom that worked with me at some point and her baby was, I don't know, about 4 weeks old. And she goes, I keep bringing out toys and the baby's not playing with them, right? And we're not really taught how do you play with a baby.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe just start with gentle peekaboo. Maybe infant massage, you know, and you can look that up online. You can look up at YouTube infant massage and do a couple of those things that help you connect to the baby. When you start to connect to the baby, you can start to feel like, oh, I'm doing something with my baby here. I'm a mom.
He's looking back.
He's looking back.
He smiled.
Yeah, that first smile, right?
Yeah. And because I also think like sometimes there's so much information out there of like all these things about motherhood and babies and stuff that we start getting overloaded with things that we're like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this with my baby. I'm not doing this. My baby's not doing this. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. That we get so overloaded, and that also can be like very, you know, heavy on us.
Of course. I'm failing. I mean, I had a mom just now just tell me beforehand she had breast cancer when she was pregnant with her baby. And she's like, I wasn't able to do much with my baby. And now I feel guilty that he's going to suffer for the rest of his life. And I'm like, could you cut yourself some slack here? You know, you had breast cancer, right? And but we don't cut ourselves slack enough.
We don't. As mothers, we don't. We just want to do everything. You know, as I'm talking here, I'm looking at my daughter on the screen. I'm like, what is she doing? Is she eating? Is she, like, I'm like, oh my God, I should be like looking at her. Like, it's just like we just want them to be, you know, so we just want to give ourselves so much to them that sometimes we forget about ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. This is what I'll tell people. Remember, if you forget about yourself, she's going to forget about you. And she's watching everything you do. So if you take care of yourself, mm-hmm. she's going to say, I want to be like my mama who takes care of herself and me. I mean, I'm not saying that you did. But, yeah. But you're, you know, the thing we do the most is role modeling.
Let's take a break. And we're going to come back with a Super Mama speaker tip of the week. And we're back with our Super Mom pick or tip of the week. Well, what I was thinking about when we were talking about this and making us feel better, and I know everyone's different. Everyone tends to feel their like good in different ways. But I think when we're talking about like dancing and movement and going back to Tony Robbins again, one of the exercises we did. He was telling us that we channel our feminine energy by moving and by dancing and by touching and smelling. And he made us this exercise when, like, he put music on and all the women were moving.
Wow.
And it was such a powerful, like, and I just felt so good. And I was like, wow, like, just channeling that femininity in mm-hmm. you can really just bring you back to your essence. And, one of the things he talked about was like lighting candles and smelling good. Like just that smell of just prettiness would be great. So a tip for me would be just to light a candle, mm-hmm. put music, feel sensual. I know it takes time to get your libido back and feel sexy again, but maybe try ways to feel sexy. And I was sharing this with you earlier and you were talking about a really good, you said something really important that I didn't even realize that.
That one of the things that if you're breastfeeding, you're actually dry, your vaginal area is dry and it hurts. So, you know, to keep in mind that you might need to find either lubrication or think about sex more as kind of the other things that you can do sexually. And one other thing that I found from new moms is that especially if they're breastfeeding, they're holding their babies all day long, they feel like they're being touched a lot and their bodies are not theirs. So, you know, maybe just putting on music and dancing with your partner and lighting a candle with your partner and drawing each other or have a bath together once you've put the baby down.
Oh,
that's a really good idea.
Now you're talking.
That's a really good idea. So now my tip, because we were having this conversation off mic and I didn't know about that. But I wanted to recommend a really good brand of lubes, and it's Sliquid Organics Gel. Sliquid. There's one specific one that I really like. It's called Satin. And all the line, it's really good. And, you know, and that's something that can help, you know, in the process of making love after you have a baby. But I really like that brand and I really recommend it. And I'm going to make that my pick of the week.
That's a great idea.
And you can find all of this information on our show notes again on supermamaspodcast.com, and where we'll also be putting
a lot of links this week with information from your website and from everything we've mentioned.
Great.
This week. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been really nice. And thank you just for your honesty. This is an issue we all need to start talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a huge movement on normalizing breastfeeding. And mm-hmm. I love it. I think it's great. We should also, you know, join in the movement normalizing postpartum and making it okay for women to talk about it and not feeling, you know, taking out the shame. And if, again, you know, find all the resources on our website or visit maternalmentalhealthnow.org and just, and if you have a friend that you think might be going through depression, do you have any tips for those for doing up a couple interventions maybe?
Sure. And, you know, you already mentioned it, empathy. Just listen. Listen without judgment. Like, if we can do that, by the way, for everyone in every part of our lives, we will make the world a better place. But just to say, you know, even if you model too and you say, I had a baby, I had a hard time. If you want someone to talk to, I'm here and I don't have the answers, but I can listen.
I always, whenever I hear somebody saying I'm going through it, I'm like, look, I went through it. Let me give you all the information. Yeah. And I sit down and I give them. And because, like, I really feel mm-hmm. that even, like, my really close friends now, when I started talking about it, they're like, oh, I went through that. Remember that time you visited me and this and that? And I was like, girl, why didn't you say anything? Yeah. I mean, probably back then I wouldn't have known what to do. But, you know, still, it's just like people are hiding it.
Yeah.
And the more we talk about it, the more we make it normal, the more we can help our friends. And it's just, I think for me, it's a way of like saying paying it forward and just trying to, I've been there. I know what it's like. And I would never want anybody to go through that because it's so hard. And I just hope that I can help one person at least pick up the phone or go online and start doing that first step that I always say. The first step is just saying, I do need that help. Mm-hmm. And then let me see what I can do. Because sometimes you have to help yourself.
And by the way, asking for help is not a bad thing, right? It's that whole modeling mm-hmm. thing. Don't you want your kids to ask for help? If you're not going to ask for help, how are they going to learn?
Yeah. Where can we find you? Where can mamas find more information aside from our site? Or?
So if you want to look me up, I have a website, GabrielleKaufman.com. You can also go to maternalmentalhealthnow.org or postpartum.net.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for being here. We're so thankful, so, so thankful. I'm so happy this is going to open a great conversation with our moms. And we really can't wait to have you back. Hopefully, we can have you back soon and maybe take some questions from our listeners. I would love that.
That would be an honor. Thank you.
Yeah, this has been great. And I'm sure and I hope you get some of our moms like knocking on your door, hopefully. And don't forget to also follow us on _Supermamas on Instagram and Twitter, Supermamas Podcast on Facebook, and our website, supermamaspodcast.com. supermamaspodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Rate us, girls, please rate us. Give us good ratings, not bad ratings, but give us some ratings. Give us some reviews, follow us, send us, you know, shout out, share this episode with somebody, maybe even with like your partner. Share this episode with your partner so they can know.
Especially with the lube tip at the end.
Of course, it had to be mine, right?
I love that it was lube tip, but
all right, and with that, we'll say goodbye, Super Mamas!
Super Mamas! Can you give us a Super Mamas?
Super Mamas!
Bye! Bye.